the arts creates a more humane, enjoyable work environment anyway, and businesses are seeing that, hanging art on the walls, etc. I absolutely would love that businesses hire a poet to do a staff meeting where they get the staff writing poems.
I'm Nick Armstrong, the Geek in Chief of WTF Marketing, and this is the Fort Collins Startup Week podcast. I am lucky enough to get to interview some of the best and brightest minds in Fort Collins and beyond in creative and business fields. And today, I am introducing you to poet Marge Hahn. Her event at Fort Collins Startup Week is one that you absolutely will not want to miss. And I'm going to let Marge tell you why.
I am Marge Hahn. I am a local poet, writer, writing teacher. I moved to Fort Collins in mid-October from Boulder County. I've lived in Colorado on the Front Range since 2006. And I'd like to also then introduce my partner, who is co-facilitating with me our events for Art Up Week. Kathleen Willard is also a local poet in Fort Collins. And we're co-creating an organization called Paragraph to bring hybrid literary arts events to Fort Collins and beyond. We both have a lot of experience and years creating community events around literature and science, and just how many lenses can we put on literature to create conversations that feel hospitable to non-writers. We writers are usually only talking to each other. So that's our commitment. We want to re-engage folks in literature. I personally am heartbroken that our English teachers destroyed poetry for most folks. So that's my agenda.
So when you say hybrid literature, do you mean different types of literature, or do you have a different definition?
It's great. There is such a thing as hybrid literature, but I mean mostly how can I have a conversation about the literary arts and science, or the literary arts and food. So when I lived in Boulder County, I paired beers with poems and spirits with poems, and I had poem pairings and taught, and it was sort of synesthetic. How do I talk about a beer in the same way I might talk about a poem? How are these sensuously the same, sensually similar? And that's actually one of our events for Art Up Week. We're having a post-panel mingle where we're going to have entrepreneurs who are creatives like artists. We are very, very similarly minded. How can I refresh my concept of my business story by thinking how it's like a poem, like a painting, and like a beer? So we're doing that after a panel featuring writers of diversity who live and work in Fort Collins.
You find that in your events that people sort of like roll their eyes or have some sort of impediment to the poetry component. And in your business, do you experience that same compunction to sort of like, oh, poetry, I don't know about that?
Nick, it's a good question. I think what's true is that whoever's showing up at poetry events already bought in. And if they didn't buy in, if they came with a friend, something about it turned them around. I used to do a literary series in Boulder called Atomic Circus. We had a waters panel, and we had a poet who wrote about the Colorado rivers. A lawyer from Denver wrote about the Colorado River. I had a guy who made business and home water testing devices. I had an underwater photographer and a woman who was a hydrotherapist. So it wasn't all writing related, but one of the panelists was a writer. So that's what I mean when I say hybrid. That's my sneaky way of getting non-writers or people who think they're not artistic to show up and engage in the arts in a way that is meaningful. I want to be an ambassador for the arts. People get that theoretically, that the arts are important in our culture, and where the money goes doesn't support that. They already have a preconceived notion of what poetry is, so we're wanting to stealthily seduce them.
Do you find that interdisciplinary approach is really vital to your business interests?
Yeah, it is. Because I have an engineering degree. I really relate to a pragmatic way of being in the world. I don't think it's separate. I don't think these are distinct domains. I think it's all one big humanity.
So what are some of the unique challenges of being a poet in Northern Colorado?
It's not specific to Northern Colorado. I think Northern Colorado has a vibrant literary scene. Truly, truly my favorite that I've experienced while living in Colorado. You know, poetry isn't a moneymaker, not even for a publisher, unless it's a poet laureate type or, you know, the big folks who make it, a Billy Collins, Maya Angelou. But most of us are making a living by teaching or, you know, doing something else, and writing is our, we don't want to call it our avocation. We feel more strongly about it than that, but it's not something we put on our tax returns, you know.
It presents a lot of different challenges in terms of time that you can dedicate and how you can plan and how you can proceed in terms of business planning. So what are some of the ways that you adapt to that sort of unique challenge?
I'll answer it this way, Nick. I'm a copy editor by income. So I have a lot of authors approaching me because they're wanting to self-publish. So I have them think way more broadly about who their audience is and what the platform is. So if someone is really has a comedic instinct and they seem to be theatrical, and they actually, if they thought about it, don't really want to sit alone in a room, write a book, and not know who bought the book, I say, you're comedic. Why don't you create a one-man show and then let people buy your book and take it home because they want to take a piece of you home, like a postcard. So that becomes a different way of monetizing ourselves as writers, as crafters of language and presenters of language. That's what I'm considering. How do I use poetry as a way of talking about something else? And so I'm developing myself as a public speaker. I've done a lay sermon at a Unitarian church. I mean, I'm just being sneaky that way. And I feel alive when I do it, which is how I know it's what there is to do for me as a poet.
So you have an MFA, you have an engineering degree, you're a copy editor. It sounds like you're a multi-potentialite. You have a lot of different skill sets to draw on. Is that vital for survival as an artist?
It's vital for me. You know, some folks who are just completely single focused, they succeed on that merit, you know? That has not been my case. When I heard the notion, was it 10,000 hours? It was Malcolm Gladwell. I don't remember. All I knew is I said, I don't want to work on poems for that many hours in my life. I want to do other things. So I just know that about myself. I think that's the first thing an artist has to do, is tell the truth about who they are, who they want to be as an artist, and then how do you create that world to serve what you know is true about yourself. It's doable. Artists are startups.
This is true. You've talked a little bit about the integration of technology with the artistic process. What are some of your favorite ways to integrate technology into your process?
Nick, I have to confess that I'm a little bit of a dinosaur with tech, even though I have an engineering degree. All right, let me give you an example that I could do. I've been writing poems to the elements in the periodic table of elements. So there's the science, right? Yes, I do my research on the element, but much more so, it's a doorway into my own life. There's another poet named Jenna Osman who has done the same thing. Very different, her poems, but she set up a periodic table of elements online, and you can click on the element and it hyperlinks. It opens a window for you to read the poem. So in that sense, poets are getting really creative about how to present their work.
We're also seeing the application of art and poetry and music and design in a lot of different fields as well. So can you talk about going the other direction and helping businesses, small businesses, startups, other entrepreneurial types understand the creative process through art or through poetry?
Businesses are now hanging art on their walls. They know that to create a climate of humanity, of creativity, any environment needs creativity, depending on what you. We're all being creative in how we interact with people, you know? So the arts creates a more humane, enjoyable work environment anyway. And businesses are seeing that, hanging art on the walls, et cetera. I absolutely would love that businesses hire a poet to do a staff meeting where they get the staff writing poems. That we have to shut off our personal self to show up in our office, it just never made sense to me. We are a whole person. We are better at what we do when our whole self shows up to do it. I think businesses would do right to let artists come in and do in-services.
I think that you're absolutely on the right track. I myself write weaponized haiku whenever I have to deliver harsh feedback.
Excellent.
Along that same track. So you've touched on a few things that sound a little bit like imposter syndrome. What do you think are some of the best ways to get around that imposter syndrome?
I love that question. I'm going to answer it by way of my having gotten an MFA at 50. That was a lot of money to go into debt for. And what I got out of it is that there's something about declaring to yourself who you are and who you're going to be. That is the woman who applied at 47 to grad school. All the time before that, fearing being an imposter, being found out, not a good enough writer, I should be writing every day. This is what writers do, they write every day. All of that changed during my 3-year program. So at the end of it, did I become a better poet? I think so. I know so. What I became better was clear about my identity as a writer. Period, the end. I know who I am. I know who I'm not. I know what I'm willing to do as a writer. I know what I'm not willing to do as a writer. So my identity shifted. And now I don't have the noise about, oh, I should be writing every day. I just do what a writer does. So there's this notion of be, do, have. If you be the writer in your identity, cellular to the cells you know, you will do what a writer does, and then you will have what a writer earns, which is a book or poems or maybe a whole career. But I'm clear about it that imposter syndrome goes away the minute you declare on the cellular level who you are.
What are you most excited about in terms of Startup Week?
Meeting new people. I'm new up here. I know that my peeps are the startups, are the creative folks, because they get stuff done. That's how I say it. They get stuff done. I love this town because it seems like the city very much is supportive of the people. It walks its talk. You know, yeah, we're an arts town, and you sure act like one, Fort Collins.
So who's absolutely doing the best work in Northern Colorado and Fort Collins?
I love Foco Cafe. I went to a fundraiser when I first moved here. I love the Museum of Art. I am really enjoying a community of entrepreneurial women called She Leads, led by Krista Berry, and they actually have some events during Startup Week. My poetry critique group meets at Wolverine Public House, Wolverine Farm Letter and Public House, and that is a beautiful space for the literary arts. I've had a good time with the Lyric Theater. They had a Brewmeister film with a panel of the breweries. The brewery people are wonderful with the music. And I should say who our panelists are, Nick, just because they are giving us their time. We have CSU English Department Professor Leslie Becker, Ray Martinez, who was a Fort Collins cop for many years in the police department, 3-time mayor and now city councilman. And we have Vahini Vara, who is newish to Fort Collins, and she's a prominent national journalist. So we scored. We got 3 folks, 3 walks of literary life, and the Forge is putting together a special flight of beer for our startup people to use to inquire into their startup story. And Kathleen and I will be providing artwork and poetry, not our own, by national poets. Just the creative process even of causing this thing turned out to be a panel that feels richer than our original intention.
So you mentioned the creative process. What is the creative process like for you?
I'll be really specific, Nick, because what's true for me is that I have to find the first line. First line has a certain rhythm and musicality and way of saying, diction. It'll interest me because it somehow is related to whatever existential grappling is going on. And it'll have metaphorical possibility. There'll be something that shows up in my world that has struck me, upset me, whatever. It could be a national issue or a local issue or a personal issue. And somehow that incident, I can work into being a metaphor to, for a larger existential grappling, a larger concern. And I meander my way into it. I can't do that if I don't find the first line.
All right, Marge, tell us about your Startup Week events.
Our Kathleen Willard and my two art up events are Wednesday, Feb 27th. 4 to 5 is the panel, and 5 to 7 is the mingle.
Well, Marge, where can we find out more about you and your work?
My website is www.margehahn.com. I have to spell my name. It's MARJHAHNE.com.
For more great entrepreneurial insights, you can visit startupfoco.com, and we hope to see you at Startup Week.